Hey, leaders, listeners, and life's most curious people, this is Meaningful Mischief. Three entrepreneurs in pursuit of bringing our best, giving the most, and having fun along the way. No overnight successes, scaling hacks, or planning models here. Just a conversation about what we're learning and loving about meaning, impact, health, wealth, and everything in between. This is Meaningful Mischief. Let's jump in.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back.
Hello, hello,
hey, everyone.
Welcome
Today's
back.
Today's topic, creativity. What do we think about it? What do we do with, what do we do with the creative mind in the world that we live in today? Are we losing it? Do we need more of it? What is creativity in the first place? All that stuff. So creativity. Let's just start with a very basic question. What is creativity?
What is it?
Yeah. And don't look it up in the dictionary. I want to know what creativity? Like you actually think. Like
go on, Style, you go.
What's creativity? It's interesting because I always thought I was a science mind. Mm-hmm. Which I am. I am a scientist. However, in recent years, I've realized how important my creative process is. And I also realized as children, I think we've all had a creative way of thinking, right? So imaginations. I don't know. Did anybody have imaginary friends?
Mm-hmm. My son I can't remember if I did, but yeah.
Yeah, my son too. But there's always this creative process that happens for all young kids. And I think that got stifled at probably the age of 7 or 8 when we get thrown into this world of not being creative and how everything has to be a certain way. Mm-hmm. So to me, creativity is a thought process or a mindset and not just about art or physical expression. I think there's an internal expression that we all have, some more than others, that I think is key and critical in life and in the way that society is running right now, which I'm sure we're going to get into in a bit. So creativity, I feel, is very, very important. I don't know if I answered the question, but I don't know if I can answer it directly. You know me.
No, I know. I was waiting, but you came around. So you're saying it's a thought process, it's a mindset. And I'm hearing you say that, and I agree with this idea that it's sort of in a child, it's unfiltered, unmodulated, unencumbered. And then we grow up in the world, particularly the world that we've been living in. Mm-hmm. And some of that can get snuffed out. And what then therefore happens? I think that's a great point. How about mm-hmm. you, James?
I think it's, for me, because I was always better at drawing and art and things that are visual than I was about, say, literature and books. And so for me, I naturally would go to it's being visually creative, but I don't think it is because, for example, you know, an author, a writer is creative in their mind about the future book that they want to write, the message that they want to get across. Mm-hmm. So I think it's about, we're all creative because it's the thoughts in our mind about mm-hmm. how we want something to change or evolve, or it's a path. I mean, we wake up in the morning, as soon as we open our eyes, we are thinking about, okay, I want this for breakfast. I want to have this conversation. This is my day. I'm planning it. They're being mm-hmm. creative, right? But there's different depths of creativity. And I think what we've been talking about, and anyone listening it will appreciate that we're talking, we constantly believe that we should be in the air of our passion and we should be in flow state and we should be in our unique ability. And I think if we go back to that, we're more likely to be creative in that environment.
Yeah.
Than when we're in, you know, shadow or in an area where we go, oh, I have no energy here. I have, because you've got to have energy and passion for something to, not necessarily to be creative, but to enhance the level of creativity.
Yeah, I love that.
I don't know if that makes any sense, but
it totally does. I think you're right. Like yeah. A lot of people think about, well, having been in the marketing and advertising world for so many years, there's the creative team, and those are the people who develop the fun words and pictures, and then there's the everybody else. And there's like a divide where it's like, if you're on the strategy and planning group, you're not a creative. You can't come up with headlines and concepts and stuff like that. So there does seem to be or in high school, I don't know if you guys had this, you had like the drama kids. The kids who did all of the yeah. arts and stuff. And then you had the jocks and you had the, so there seemed to be like a, divide between certain types, the creative types, and then the everyone else. So I totally think that, and I mean, I agree with both of you that it's not that at all. I went to a Martha Beck and Elizabeth Gilbert seminar back in the fall, and Martha Beck talked about the left and right brain. And we used to say in our business that we're storytellers for left brain industries. So, businesses that are very technical, complex, industrial, whatever, because storytelling is a right brain activity. So, if we think about the left and the right brain, the way that she talked about it was super cool. And she was like quick to say, I'm not a neuroscientist, so either am I, as I described this to you guys. But she talked about the left brain is where, even it is actually where language is formed, but it's the side of our brain that's the survivor. It's the one that looks for risks and makes sure that you stop at red lights and you make sure that you're paying your bills and you have a roof over your head and all of that stuff. So it's like a super important part of ourselves because it's how we survive. It's also very black and white, danger or not danger. And so, as we've grown and evolved, we still have this left brain that's looking for the risks and all of that. And there's a right and a wrong in the left brain. The right and the left brain, she told this story. I'm totally gonna not get it right, but she told this story about a guy waking up in the hospital after having a stroke. And he was furious, and that someone had put a leg in his bed with him, not his leg. And he was like so mad. He's like, "That's not my leg. That's a stranger's leg. I don't want that leg here." I guess what had happened, it got to the point where he went to throw the leg out of the bed, and he fell out with it. And it got to the point, and they said that there was a severing between the left and right hemisphere of the brain, where he no longer could recognize this other leg. The left brain can't see the bigger picture. It just sees what the left brain is supposed to. Then she talks about the right brain. The right brain is all encompassing, inclusive. It can see the left brain and what the left brain needs to do, and it includes the left brain activities in its thoughts. But it's expansive. There's no lines between things. That is the source of creativity and all of that. Now, left brain has language, right brain has the creativity. So you have to kind of work both sides of the brain. And so they did this really cool exercise where how do you tap into, in a left brain world where we're worried about survival and we're all under chronic stress and there's deadlines and jobs to do and blah, 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 blah. How do you tap into this expansive right brain side? And we went through this exercise where it was truly, Stella, you made the point, I think, earlier. About maybe you did it before recording, but about being in the present moment. And in order to access that side of yourself, you have to be in the present moment. And so it was literally think about the greatest thing, like the smell you like better than any smell in the world. Is it chocolate chip cookies in the oven? Is it my favorite scent is lilacs in the spring? Like I'll go for a run and I'll start smelling lilacs. All of a sudden I'm chasing lilac trees. I'm looking around for them so I can just take in the smell. So using your sense of smell, you go there. Your sense of touch, what's like the coziest, most wonderful thing to touch? What are your other senses? Smell, touch, sight, beautiful
Taste,
place.
feel, yeah,
For
hearing.
James, you love gardening. Is it flowers? Is it like so you literally call on all of your senses and that all at once, like you invite them all in and you soak yourself into that beautiful sensory experience, and you're going to end up tapping into your right brain self. That's your creative self. So she would call the left brain side of you the dictator. And the right brain. So imagine you put like a little mini James in your right hand, I think, for the left brain side. Anyway, the dictator James, who's like right, wrong, yes, no, good, bad. And then your wild child that's like the hippie, the free spirit, the whatever. And you've got these two characters, and you can even kind of talk to them. You can be like, okay, the dictator, thank you for doing all the things to save my life. Can you go out of the room for a minute? I'd like to speak to my wild child. You can literally like, embrace and invite the wild child in. Anyway.
Well, and they're saying that you can switch it on and off like that.
Yeah. And that's
Interesting.
kind of what's interesting to me, because we label people, we label ourselves, and we label each other is either this way or that way. We do it all the time. The three of us love those personality thinking style assessments. We've got like literally how many different classifications have I given myself, and I put myself in those categories. But everyone has access to both sides of their brain. It's just, are you cultivating that side, or are you living in only one? You know, like we need both. So anyway, that isn't that cool? I don't know where Martha Beck got this. She's written tons of books, so it's probably in some of her books. You guys, do you know who she is? She's a Harvard, I think she's sociologist. Yeah.
Her, I don't know,
Yeah,
but
her.
who's the other one you said?
Daniel Pink's the one I talked about
No,
earlier,
no, no, no.
Beck.
So you
Yeah.
said the two of them,
Oh,
Beck
Elizabeth
and
Gilbert.
Zilla, yeah,
Yeah.
Elizabeth Gilbert.
She wrote Eat, Pray, Love, and she's like,
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
she just wrote a book about creativity. So she, yeah, I should read that. I should have read that before this podcast.
We should have.
I lost you,
Well,
James, to the
we lost
ocean.
you, James.
Yeah. I don't
You
know why.
drowned. You drowned.
You drown.
No,
You'll
Mary.
come
So,
back.
it's interesting how you brought up that story because, and I mentioned already to both of you, I think before the call, I'm listening to Joe Dispenza's videos, and he talks about creativity and how to be in the present moment. Obviously, he uses meditation as the main way. But the
Right.
thing he explains how your personality is based on your personal reality. And what that means is that we run programs of the past, and they're unconscious programs, right? And we're not necessarily taught, even at a young age, what the prime directives or the purpose of our unconscious or creative minds are, because it's so much easier to understand, reasoning and math
Yeah.
and, right and
Yeah.
wrong, black and white, like you mentioned, right? Because you can grasp it. But when you understand that we run these unconscious programs, right? And they also come with the good things in terms of the creativity we have as a child. It dictates our personality, our present reality, if we run the programs from the past, number one.
Yeah.
And then secondly, we get caught up in what we need to do, where we need to go, take care of the kids, run, go, do work, ba 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 da. And now we also get caught up in what we need to do for the future.
Yeah.
Okay, one creates anxiety, the other one creates fear. And in both those cases, you can't be in that present moment to then tap into what this creativity is that you're referring to. And
Right.
we talked about morning rituals and yoga, and and the question I always have is, what is it that you do? And for the listeners, what do you do every day in order to be in the present moment? Okay, and if somebody can answer that, usually they also discover that it's during those times that they get these aha moments or ideas or the light bulb, boom. Okay, because the amount of knowledge and wisdom that is located in that space of creativity is actually what we take in based on what our unique abilities are and what's important to us. And then how does that get applied into the physical reality is when now we apply that with our left brain so that the two of them work together. Because the whole goal is to have the two working where we have the creative process, and then a part of our brains can then create the structure or the reality of how to put that into play so that we can bring value into the world. So it's funny how you brought that up right now, because I'm
Yeah.
literally just studying this again.
Yeah.
And the application is going to be what's important. So, anyways,
Yeah, it's fascinating.
what?
Like the when we're striving for something. So I'll bring up Barbara Fredrickson. She's a positive psychologist who did some research around like the conditions that we need to be in for our greatest creative selves. And so are stressed out.
What is going on with my video? Sorry.
I know it's okay. Most people just listen, so they won't see the what is it? It's like
My camera's doing some
backdrop.
dancing.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's like it's a disco ball, you coming in and out of the thing.
Yeah.
So we are busy. We've made our lives busy. We've totally created this experience for ourselves where we stack our schedules all the time, and you know, we barely could fit anything in. I'm the worst offender of that. we live in this chronic stress mode where nothing's ever enough. We've got to go, 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 go. Well, when we're in that, when we're totally focused and stressed about getting through the day, our not only our vision narrows, but even our like digestive system shuts down and everything is sort of closed in on a very specific point. And so that's the opposite of expansive and creative thinking. It's very narrow and targeted to get through the day. So like I have a day to this today in particular, like I'm scheduled from 8 a.m. until 8:30 p.m. with very little in
Wow.
between. So I'm not like thinking expansively. I'm thinking about how to get through to the next meeting and all that stuff, right? So the work that Barbara Fredrickson did was to understand what it takes for people to go from that sort of shut down, narrow focus to an expansive mindset. And she calls it the broaden and build theory, I think. And she uses positive mindset or a positive focus as a way into that. That if you want to get into your expansive self, be in the moment for sure. That's like be present. And then also draw on some positive experiences, whether it's something you're grateful for, something you're proud
Yeah,
of,
gratitude.
families.
Gratitude's a big one.
Gratitude's huge. So if you can draw on that, so even if you had like a 90-minute block in the middle of a crazy week to go be creative, setting yourself up with the conditions to do that, to like kind of come out of this narrow focus and then relax and broaden and expand. So the broaden and build theory. And it all comes from a, you need to be in a state of positive focus. You need to be grateful for, be proud of, be looking forward to something like that. Which is cool because I think it would be concerning given that we've grown up in the industrial age, where most of management theory is very linear and black and white. A leads to B, B leads to C. You have this job, you do these things, you do them this way. You sit in a chair for this amount of time. That there's a school, education system is like exactly left brain. It's like the bell goes off, you have recess for 10 minutes, you come back, you sit in your chair, you do these things, you do them this way, you get tested on this, da, 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 right? So there's like an overwhelming current out there that's like pushing us into this left brain world. The good news is there are ways to get out of it and get into your creative self. Now, Daniel Pink wrote a book. I have yet to read the book, so I don't even want to like act like I know the whole thing, but I've read synopsis and I follow him all the time, so I hear some of his stuff. But he wrote a book called A Whole New Mind: Why Right Brainers Will Rule the Future. And it explores how the world is shifting from the information age to the conceptual age. So, why are we talking about creativity anyway? Why does it matter? Because we no longer live in a world where we go and sit in a box and do the exact same thing over and over and over again. In fact, you know, technology, globalization, all of those tasks are getting outsourced to different countries or outsourced to technologies, obviously with ChatGPT, so many things that we were paid to do before, which were more algorithmic, they were more like the same repetitive type thing, we're now getting paid is more heuristic. It's more of the conceptual, the problem solver, the expansive thinker, the person who can connect the dots. Those are the people who are going to rule the world. And what are we doing to help ourselves and our children and our world cultivate that side of their brains? Nothing in
So
school yet.
I have a story.
Yeah, please.
I have two stories actually, but the one story is I had a client that came in to see me that I think he was 18 at the time. Two professional parents, I think an accountant and a lawyer. And he was
Left-brainers.
told, yeah, massive left brainers. And the two left brainers are trying to tell the right brain child that he needs to get into left brain type of profession. Otherwise, right? Anyway, make a long story short, he came to me and he said, I know that there's the creative in me, and he was a graphic artist, right? And
Yeah.
again, my brain was thinking, how on earth are you gonna, succeed in graphic arts? But then as he continued to tell me his story,
Wait, can I ask
and
you why your brain was asking that?
just because I was brought up with two immigrant parents that told me I needed to be a doctor too, and I became a doctor. But
Okay.
what I do now is a massive creative portion of what I do within my industry. So
Yes.
I can see both sides, right? The reason I love working with the under 30 crowd is a lot of them will say, we don't really care about money. It's a report card for us. And what we care about is impact and using our creative energy in order to create something different that matters. Right. It's a pretty consistent message. So here's this kid. And, you know, he had gone through mental health challenges and he started creating these posters, and the posters were very, it was successful because he was posting these things online daily and everybody can relate because it was around stress and it was about, you know, being in a certain age group, not being heard, not being understood, all these things. Anyway, so then I worked with him and he started realizing his strength within his creative processes. All of a sudden, these posters started to impact so many more people. So he went from 5,000 followers. Within 2 months, he went to 10,000 followers. Now he's at 350,000 followers with A-listers that are utilizing his posters in order to brand their image.
Wow.
Can we put his information in the show notes? That would be really, no?
I don't know maybe because of confidentiality, I'd rather not for now. I want his permission first.
But he, oh yeah, ask for his permission because it would only be to follow his cool posters because clearly the world loves them.
I will. I'll ask permission first and see what he has to say.
I guess that's right because he's a patient.
Yeah.
You have that kind of relationship with people.
Okay. Yep. It's a confidentiality thing. But anyways, he opened my eyes in terms of the impact that the creative can have. And then, you know, you mentioned AI. Okay. And you hear a lot of people, oh, I'm so scared of what's going to happen. It was the same conversations that were happening with the internet way back when. Mm-hmm. But again, I agree with what you said, that Daniel Pink said, where everything's going to be commoditized because
it already is in a way.
It already is. It's a commodity marketplace right now, right?
Yeah.
So then you say, okay, what differentiates the human being from the machine? There's only one thing. Okay. And that's the creativity. Right. Mm-hmm. So the ideas and the connections and the energy and all of the things that the creative process brings to the table is what makes each of us unique. And then that connection then allows us to come up with different models and different ideas that didn't exist before. And what the gift is that the under 30 demographic is giving us is to force us to get into our own creative processes, because the old model is going to be obsolete. It's happening already.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there's
it totally is. Absolutely is. I mean, even, you know, we live in the world of storytelling. In the beginning of, you know, ChatGPT is like, what's not even 2 years old at this point? But in the beginning, it was like, and it couldn't do the things that it does now. But now my ChatGPT knows me, knows our business, knows our programs, knows Meaningful Mischief. Like I'll get like suggestions like, this is a good topic for Meaningful Mischief. Like I'll get stuff that's just like it's the best thought partner in the world. There's also like, you know, on demand and, you know, 24/7 and has like the largest brain and resource possible to draw on good ideas and stuff. So, the cool part is, you know, who's used this analogy before, but, you know, giving the right tools to the master, right? So, it's not that it's going to replace the need for the human being altogether, but put ChatGPT's storytelling capabilities in the hands of an author and look at what's possible. Same thing for, I don't know, creativity like graphic design or whatever. Like you're giving the tool to the master. All of a sudden the tools have, you know, 10x their capability. So the master can do that much more with it.
Oh, yes. I have two things to share now.
Okay, go ahead.
James, do you want to say something? Because
I was just going to say about creativity, because the difference, like we all use ChatGPT or different versions, right? But what you get out of it as an answer is dictated by the quality of the question. And for me, the question is creativity.
Mm-hmm.
Because to ask the question correctly, you need to have a vision of the answer that you want. Mm-hmm. And what that needs to look like. And obviously vision, we talk about creativity, they're linked. So you need to, the better vision you have on the outcome and the answer that you want from ChatGPT or any version of AI will allow you to ask the specific type of question that will give you the answer. And if you just go, what shall I do today? You're going to get a very blah answer.
Yeah. But,
and you know, it's very rare that you get ChatGPT at the minute giving you exactly what you want on the first question. You've got to go layers deeper and deeper and deeper to navigate it to your creativity, because you know, as the driver of that mechanism, you know what type of outcome that you want because you visualize it. And it's you're creating it, and you're navigating, you're creating it, you're visualizing it through the systems. But it's still us. We're still the drivers. We're just using a different method of getting us the answer.
Right. And it's
no different
faster,
to an
better.
Architect.
Yeah.
He's just using a different construction company to give him the building that he wants. But he still visualizes, look, okay, I want 1, 2, 3, 4, and this is what I think it should look like at the end. Go and execute it for me. It's the same thing. We still have it in our mind. We're just using a different, what's the word I'm looking for? Not mode, but a different
tool. A different
methodology.
We're playing name that too.
Visualizing a different word. but yeah, a different mode of giving us the result.
Yeah, I totally see that. Now, so Stel, you have something you wanted to add, Stel?
Yeah, so we're getting close to the end here, and I think it's going to be a good example of, because you asked me the question, what's creativity at the beginning, and I'll give you an application of being present, creativity, AI, utilization of AI, and something I'd want to share with all the viewers, and I highly recommend that you all try this, okay? So my son, Gabriel, he has cerebral palsy, so he's the one in the wheelchair. And we have these things called GD Adventures, Gaby and Daddy Adventures. And he says, Dad, I want to go and do a TTC GD Adventure. So the TTC is the Toronto Transit Commission. It's the subway. And he loves just going on these adventures. So I said, okay, what do you want to do? He goes, I don't know. And I said, all right, let's start with lunch, because we'll start with lunch somewhere. What do you want to eat? He goes, I don't know, but let's take the subway to Yonge and Eglinton. So I said, okay, we have a starting point. And so I pick up Molly's my AI. I pick up Molly and I said, Molly, we're going to be going to Yonge and Eglinton. Can you make some suggestions for restaurants? And like you said, she knows me and Gabriel. It says, well, since you're going to need accessibility, and we know that Gabriel loves the theme of music, let's go to this restaurant. It's accessible, blah, blah. How does that sound? And he gets excited. He's like, perfect. And it's the first exposure. He's like, oh my God, I love your Molly. Right. So then we go to the restaurant. We're sitting at the restaurant. Sure enough, it's music themed. The food was amazing. And then Gabriel says, so what are we going to do next? He goes, can we ask Molly? And I said, let's do it. So I said, Molly, we want to go on what are called GD Adventures, and we want to do a TTC adventure. Is there anything you could suggest? So Molly fires off some ideas. And then one of them came up where Gabriel said, wow, what about the Amazing Race? So I said, Molly, can we do an Amazing Race adventure in the TTC? And can you make some suggestions in terms of clues and also point systems that will support us to live the amazing adventure? Oh my God, what an experience it was.
Yeah,
okay.
So
and
fun.
This is an example of being present in the moment with my child, being creative and using a tool that allows for the creative process to unfold. And I'm telling you, it was the best $3.35 I've ever spent for entertainment that gave a perfect example of all the concepts that we talked about in terms of creativity and presence. So I just wanted to share that. And
I think that's a beautiful story. Yeah. Thank you for that.
But just to, if I can just jump in, right. You have to be creative, because I wouldn't have thought of that. I wouldn't have thought of asking that. And I know you've evolved your AI. That's not just a normal AI. It's a Stel's version of AI. And you've had to spend time working on it. You've created that system to where it is today.
Yeah.
And you've had to sit there and you've created a situation where you and your son are having a conversation about how to utilize that. So the creativity is you. You've started that. You're just using a tool.
That tool. Yeah. The tool enhanced it. And the tool took all of your, like, logical, logistic brain power. Like it took that for you so that you could enjoy and be in the moment and be creative about it, because it's doing the and then go here and then go there and all that stuff. Like you don't need to worry. Like otherwise you'd be Googling, you'd be like, okay, what's our first stop and what will we see there? Like you would have to have had to have spent a ton of time on the planning that you didn't have to do, so you could just experience it, which is beautiful. So when we brought up this topic, of course AI comes into it. Because it is a tool. It's not the end all be all, because I find like a lot of times we end up talking about AI in relation to almost everything these days. So again, in the Daniel Pink world of why the right brainers are going to rule the world, well, what are the capacities of the right brainer that are required? So these are not mine. These are from Daniel Pink, but I think it's a good primer for like why does this matter? Like why does like beyond the I enjoy painting or dancing or singing or problem solving in my business. Like, what are the things? So he talks about six essential skills or senses of the right brainer. One is design. So moving beyond function to create products and services and experiences that are beautiful, intuitive, and emotionally engaging. So think of Apple. Like it's next level. Apple always says, we weren't going to come to be first in market. We're going to enhance that experience, right? Story. Communicating ideas and narratives in compelling ways rather than just facts. I mean, that's our whole business is about the stories we tell ourselves and the stories we tell each other. Symphony, he calls it, and I love this one, which is seeing the big picture, connecting ideas across disciplines and making unexpected connections. So that's that. And I mean, that's one of my favorite things to do is to like look at the world of possibility and pull out what matters and distill it down. Empathy is part of this. So understanding and sharing the emotions of others. So that's like a leadership collaboration and an engagement thing. Play. So using humor, joy, and games in work and in life to enhance creativity and problem solving. So back to Barbara Fredrickson, he's like, you need to be in a good state to be creative. Well, play can create that state. And then meaning is the sixth one, which is pursuing purpose, fulfillment, and spirituality as the key drivers of motivation, which go back to his book, Drive, that he wrote a while back, which is all about intrinsic motivation versus extrinsic motivation. But when you think about it, people need all of those things to be successful. And how many of those things do they learn in school? Or do they learn
None.
in their first jobs? Or, like I'm going to use this as a tool in our business because people come out of school often having learned how to do something. Like, I mean, I have an English undergrad. You guys know this. And obviously, that didn't get me a job. So I did a post grad in corporate communications. And then I studied positive psychology separately than that. But I look
And
for
then you studied how to
people.
be a yoga teacher.
Then I studied how to be a yoga teacher. That's right. So I was
And you
the,
still
so
didn't
I
have a
wrote,
job.
I've been looking for a job for 25 years. I was the youngest of four kids in a corporate family. Like my dad grew up the corporate ladder fairly quickly. He had different territories and management positions and ran different companies and stuff like that. All three of my siblings are in business. And then I go as the youngest of four into English. I think everybody was just exhausted by thinking about what people were going to study in school. Like they were like, okay, Mary, do whatever you want to do. But I'm like, I kind of went off script early on and just followed what I enjoyed. And so grateful for that now, but at the time, not a wise choice. Like Stell, to your point about the graphic designer, like how is this person going to make money? But when I go hire people now, like bring on the sociology degree, the psychology degree, the philosophy degree, the learning how to think expansively degree, as opposed to the, and I don't want to trash the business degrees out there because those people are necessary too, and there are skills I could have used from those degrees that I had to learn the hard way. But the learning how to like A goes to B goes to C goes to D, like the learning how to do something, could you please give me the thing I've learned how to do, is a problem in the world because the world's changing so much. So you need these skills. Like, how did you guys cultivate these skills? And you, like James, you studied, you were a lawyer first, right? It's a very left brain. And Stell is a doctor. Like you guys are like poster
But
children for
it depends, like everything is perspective, right? So I think for me, the way I got through law school and the way I got through criminal law was by being creative.
really, yeah, I love that. Tell me more. I want to know.
So So how I learned, I mean, law is numbers, right? You need to learn case law so that you set precedents and you use particular cases, and it evolves. It's just a book of rules. But it's storytelling, which you're familiar with. And the story is an image. And an image then gives me a date, and I can then use that. So if I want to apply something, it's for me, it's not theoretical, it's images, it's numbers and images. You know, someone would say, okay, your job is you're a financial advisor. Well, we know I'm not. What I use is financial tools to help, change people's lives and create purpose and vision around it. But for me, it's super visual. And I have to be creative with the clients, because if they're not creative, so for me, you can be left brain and theoretical, but I would flip that for me, because it's my perspective, and say I would throw a lot of creativity over that left side of the brain for me to get results, or for the person that I'm speaking to get results. So I think I am creative, I'm visual. So whatever it is, even if it's something which is numbers and theory, I'd flip it and try and have some fun and enjoyment for me to conceptualize it, or for the person that I'm trying to explain it to conceptualize it.
Yeah, absolutely. And then another skill that you have highly attuned is empathy. And if we're thinking of that, like that's one of the senses of creativity that Daniel Pink talks about, is the being able to understand other people's points of view. And then maybe the strategy and the problem solving and the creativity to help deliver on that n need that they have, whether it was back when you were doing criminal law or even in this case, right, where you're trying to help people design the life of their dreams, right?
I mean, if you just take that alone, right? If you just took empathy and communication, and they taught that at school for, like, let's say a full year, you, by the byproduct of that, if you genuinely studied it and enjoyed it, you would become such a more creative person, because you're immediately putting yourself in the other person's shoes to be able to be empathetic and to communicate better. You've got to switch to their perspective. Which you can do that if you are being creative, visually being creative. And so
Totally.
that them two tools alone would put you probably should have started with that 40 minutes ago.
Yeah, that's
Retake.
right. That's right. That's right.
No, but
Well, hey,
Mary,
whatever.
don't you think you're the doctor and lawyer of marketing?
You know, I don't know.
Well, think
Because,
about it. So here's my question. Why did you
yeah.
leave the corporate marketing world in order for you to then have your own business of On Purpose?
Because I believe that stories change people and people change the world, and that at the heart of all of that is why we do something. That's the fuel of what we do. And I felt like I wanted to go create that, solve that problem in the world. So I did leave. Yeah, I mean, corporate world is very left brain, and I have this sort of freedom side of me that says I want to go do things my way. I'm surprised I was an employee for as long as I was, now that I'm on this side of it. Like I don't know what I'd rather do than be an employee again. Because I the freedom to be creative and offer the world what I believe it needs is was a really, like that, I feel like that's just inside my bones at this point, right? But I didn't go about, because you guys know, I barely graduated from high school. I flunked like chemistry, calculus, French, like in grade 11. And then I went to community college. Like I kind of fumbled my way. I was like running alongside the people who did it the way they were supposed to. And I was like, oh, I can't, don't really quite fit in there. And then to go study English just because I enjoyed words and whatever, it was like, who does that? So there's a part of me that's always had a different script than I think a lot of people had. And then I did. I like after studying English, I was like, okay, I gotta go get into the corporate world and be productive, because I have that very strong drive too. Like I don't want to be a professor of 15th century poetry. Like, that wasn't my world either. But yeah, there's a pretty strong draw to go fit in that box. Like I could have, yeah. And I did fit in the box for quite some time. That's a good point.
No, it's just gonna do it. Just calling it the box is exactly what it is, right? Because I think the three of us, as well as others, are fortunate when we become entrepreneurs or have our own business, right? Because in order to succeed, you have to be creative, and different and differentiate yourself, right? So that starts the creative process, and then the successes of
Yeah.
that start to see the impact that we make with empathy and communication and all the other things that
Yeah.
you listed, which then deepens an understanding to become even more creative. And now, you know, we're
Yeah.
different than we were when we started, and we're going to be different 5 years from now from where we are now, right?
So
But
what
that's
about
the
this? So, because I only 5% of the people want to start businesses. So there are people who can live their creative selves inside the roles that they have, provided they know what their unique abilities are and they have a world where they can exercise those. They have the autonomy to be able to do that. But you just made me think about how many business owners have been successful because of an intense drive and an intense focus on left brain things. And then how, and so that's like their model of success, because this is what worked for me. And then, I mean, I see it all the time when I work with companies. That's the model of success. And yet they're missing, like I'll call that the head of the brand or the company. They're missing the heart of the brand. They've got it, but they don't have the skills and tools honed to draw that out in other people. And that can be a challenge. Like if you've been so successful in the way the world has been operating sort of your left brain strengths, you might say, well, I don't need those other ones because everything works fine.
I
But
don't think
that,
you can be successful at anything without being creative in that. Because even though, like you said, you could say someone's left brain, but the way in which they're using that is through creativity. So somebody else could look at it and go, well, you're just left brain because you're analytical and you do one, two, three. Yeah, but they still have a vision and still executing it. So they have to, and the fact that it has become a success and they've got
So you
customers
think
or they're making
creativity is a
payments.
precursor of success?
Yeah,
I agree.
I don't see how you can be successful without having creativity.
I mean,
Unless
I
it's
love
or
that.
at least getting engaged in the creative process, right? Because you can still inspire other people to be creative and work with you. It's kind of like Megan for you, Mary. It's like there has to be creativity at some point. Otherwise, there's no way you're going to move forward. Because remember, the creative process is basically tapping into unconscious awarenesses. Right, it usually comes up with an idea or something that then promotes movement. Right, so if it's just a stagnant A, B, C, D selling one, two, three, at some point, A, you become obsolete because again, you become a commodity, or it gets boring and then you're just not interested anymore.
Well, I agree with you guys on the like that is, I
But,
mean, most of my success is predicated on these
but,
things. Well, I just don't know that that's true for
and,
everyone. I mean, the last hundred, like from 1900 until, I mean, I don't know, you could even say 2000. Maybe the internet disrupted that a little bit. The way that we planned and did work, the way we educated our people, we're still educating our kids this way, is very much you do this, it leads to that, you follow the rules, you still, you know, paint inside the lines, these are the jobs that could be successful. And then there are a lot of careers that are built on that. And so like I agree with you. Like I believe that's true in the world and I think it's going to be even more true. I just don't know if it's 100% universally the case
But
that
there's different levels of
I
creativity. Yeah, there's st obviously like Steve Jobs and Henry Ford, and then you've got people which are drawing portraits on the streets. They're both still incredibly creative. It's just in a different level.
Yeah, but yes, but you're using examples of like Steve Jobs, highly creative in the context of the business world. Also maybe unique.
But still, it's still creativity. You know,
No,
it's
I
still,
100% think Steve Jobs is, but I
yeah.
also think there's a bunch of people who are like, I buy and sell stuff. I buy things at X, I sell them at Y, I make money. Maybe, I don't know how much
They're
people.
creating wealth. I mean, they're
No,
creating
I'm saying
wealth. They're
creating wealth
creating,
is fine. I'm just saying that they're, I don't know that everybody universally 100% to be successful in business needs to leverage, or up till now has needed to leverage the right brain thinking as much. Like, I don't know if that is has been always a 100% ingredient in success. I think it
Mary, how
will
many
be
people
like
have you
true,
worked
yeah.
with that are massively successful and unhappy?
Tons.
Tons, right? It's like,
Oh, you know what?
what?
Here's a good example. Worked with an engineering firm, quite large. Many engineers are successful, and we need people like this because we need bridges not to fall down and factories not to blow up and all the things. Exercising the left brain tendencies, right? And so you could see that. In that world, there's a lot of right and wrong. There's the way that we've done it is always how we've done it, and we should can keep doing it because it's safe and secure. And safe and secure is important in the world of we don't want factories to blow up, we don't want bridges to fall down. So, in that space, when you try to get somebody to think laterally, think differently, it's a challenge because everything they've done, there's a black and a white and a right and a wrong. And why would you tell me to think about this? It doesn't matter. Only these things matter. So. I just think that there are businesses and people who lean more and have been successful leaning more into the left brain side. I mean, I know that the left and the right brain isn't completely divorced of each other. We couldn't survive without it. So we're speaking in absolutes and we can't really do that. But I think that the way the like, you know, the 100 years of the Industrial Revolution taught people to that the way to success is to do it this way. And now it's more disruptive. It's like, oh, the real value is in this right brain conceptual thinker. Steve Jobs is 100% that guy, even though he grew and probably at a time when not many were doing this, grew Apple to being one of the largest companies in the world, you know? So I'm not saying business is at cross purposes with creativity at all. I'm saying there's a lot of businesses that are probably successful because they have followed doing things the same way always. And yes, that's disruptive. Blockbuster went out of business as an example. So, anyway, there you go.
Interesting. It is interesting.
Yeah. But
Creativity.
that's right. So we should all go
But
out and read Daniel Pink's book.
if we're going to be creative and finish this with either one bit of advice or one kind of like finishing or closing sentence or statement, what would you go with?
I would say plan your creative time, like give yourself the time and set yourself up for success by getting yourself into the right state of mind to do the great thinking that you want to do. Because you're not going to take your taskmaster planner self into that space and really achieve what you want. So use some of the tools we talked about to get there. And that time isn't frivolous time. It's probably the most valuable time you'll spend.
Yeah, that's what I would have said that too. So discover a way to find what that present moment is for you. And if in doubt, go on a TTC adventure.
Yeah.
Take
Take the subway.
the subway.
I love it.
I agree with that, actually. I wasn't sure how I asked the question. I wasn't sure how to answer it. But for me, my most creative times is when I'm by the water. And I haven't picked the background of the fake
There you go,
water
see.
now because of it. But whenever I look back at the times when I've been to Maldives or things like that, and it's like, wow, that's when I feel like I've, pipe dreams. It's been super big. It's been really creative. And I think put yourself in, look back at the times where you think you've been most creative, either whether it's in the state or the people around you, or is it morning? Is it evening? Is it, or is it locations? And for me, it is something that's visual and go there. If you want to be creative, like, Bill Gates used to always lock himself in his little cabin, didn't he, for a week?
Yes, no
Was it
phone, no
one week
communication.
every, yeah, because
Yeah.
he needed to be in a state of, optimum creativity.
Yeah.
So yeah, I
Yeah.
agree. I think that's a good closing point for any listeners.
Be great if
Find
every listener all of a sudden was
and
on.
what's
What's
that?
that still? So
Oh,
we
I was
talked
gonna
all of a
say,
sudden.
and that's a creative wrap.
Oh, that's good. I like it. Okay. I was thinking that all of our listeners, like next week, all of our calendars are blocked for periods of time. You can't access people. That would be a win. Hey. But anyway, thanks everyone. This is fun.
Thanks everyone for listening.
Thanks, guys.
And we'll see you next week.
And that's all for this episode of Meaningful Mischief. If you found value in today's conversation, you can subscribe wherever you podcast. And hey, spread the mischief yourself. You'll find all the links in the show notes. You can visit us at meaningfulmischief.com and follow us on Instagram at meaningfulmischief. Until next time, keep making meaning and have fun while doing it. This is Meaningful Mischief, signing off.